bureaucrats are more than just machines in that big state machinery, and who they are really matters. So thinking about not just selecting on quality, but also on ensuring some representation that the administrative side matches the population they're being served at seems potentially very important.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. What role do bureaucrats play in a crisis? We might think that the best bureaucracy would always be the most efficient one, made up of people who are very good at doing exactly what they're told to do. But research into the impact of the 1918 flu pandemic in India suggests that other factors may be important too. Guo Zhu of the Haas School at Berkeley is the author of the study, and he joins me now. Guo, welcome back to VoxDev Talks.
Hello, Tim.
Guo, many people around the world, they just wish that bureaucrats that they dealt with were efficient, just more efficient. That's all they want. How pervasive is this idea that process and organization are the mark of a successful public administrator?
Well, thanks. That's a great question. So I think there's really this very old classic idea that what matters for administrative efficiency is ultimately just the process and not the person in charge. So for example, when we go apply for a driving license, we'd like the outcome of that application to be the same if we provide exactly the necessary documents that are needed in this process. So ideally, the outcome should not depend on the mood of that particular bureaucrat or whoever is in charge processing the application that day.
But on the other hand, are there other things that might be important as well for successful administration?
Yeah, in reality, of course, things look different, right?
Yeah.
So bureaucrats often have quite a bit of discretion. There's a lot of wiggle room in the process. And sometimes it's good to bend those rules, and sometimes it's perhaps less so. So although they formally serve politicians, so like you said, doing what they're supposed to do, they ultimately have a lot of expertise and experience on the job that the bosses do not have. So that gives them a lot of leeway in deciding how to implement policies.
There isn't a lot of empirical research into this, is there? So is it because this is difficult to measure, difficult to separate out these two factors?
Yeah, I think given the importance of the administration, and we all face some bureaucracy in our daily lives, it's remarkably understudied. And I think as you sort of anticipated, data constraints are an issue, right? So for example, you might need to observe the careers and identities of bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. And once you have that, since we talk about outcomes, you also need to have measures of outcomes over which they have direct control. So putting all this together can be quite a hurdle.
You have taken the approach of looking at a historical event, very important historical event, the 1918 flu pandemic, and how that played out in India. How serious was it in India?
Of course, it's very hard often to get accurate numbers, right? I mean, we see it also today with the recent pandemic. But from what the consensus estimates are, India was definitely the worst hit country, right? So globally, the estimates are about 50 million deaths during the 1918 pandemic. And out of those, 10 to 20 million were fatalities in India. So you can see already 10 to 20 million, that's a quite big range. So again, it's hard to get accurate estimates, but India was certainly worst hit.
Now, at the time, India was a British colony, of course. And one thing about the Raj that everybody knows is it employed a very extensive and thorough bureaucracy. How was the local administration organized in India?
Like in many British colonies, there was a very hierarchical and specialized administrative structure. And so I think what's crucial, like you asked about the local administration, is really the man on the spot. And in all these places, that person was the district officer. It's a very famous position even today. And that person enjoys a lot of discretion again on the spot. So these individuals back then were mostly from the Indian Civil Service, a very prestigious administrative service, and recruited through highly competitive examinations. And once they got in, they would sort of rotate across different jobs and different areas and accumulate experience over time.
So when you're coming to do an empirical analysis of this, where's the variation that you can exploit to do that? And where do you get the data to be able to do it?
Great question. Economists like to ask that question, where does the variation come from?
Yeah.
So there's an interesting and unappreciated fact, I believe, that at that time, you know, we think of this as a colonial service, but yeah. India was one of the few places that allowed locals and natives to enter the service, provided one takes these exams. And uh-huh. at that time, we do have quite a few Indian civil servants already in the service who made it through the ranks and were at that time when the pandemic hit serving as district officers. So what you have in terms of variation is a geographic distribution of officers serving across different areas and districts. And some of those are administered by chance by an Indian civil servants and others by a British one. Now, of course, where do you get the data from? That's another story, perhaps. So again, the British kept quite detailed records on the personnel side and on the administrative side. So if you go to the British Library, there are lots of volumes of administrative reports, and mm-hmm. I have been able to digitize them over time and then transcribe them and turn it into data we can work with and analyze.
So these Indian district officers and the British district officers, they've got the same sorts of levels of education. They've passed the same exams?
Yes, right. So everybody had to pass exactly the same exams, and that required knowledge of the classics, for example, and everybody had to do that. So when you look at people who passed the exam comparing Indian officers to British, they are very similar in terms of schooling backgrounds, pretty elite schooling backgrounds. And once they're in the service, they also tend to have very similar levels of experience that they accumulated as they rose through the ranks.
Right. So the heart of the paper here are the health outcomes in the districts, the various districts. So when you compare the districts where the officers were British to those where the officers were Indian, are they similar?
That is really the striking part, right? That given that these district officers are very comparable in the sort of qualifications, and what you find is that these areas that happened to be run by an Indian officer by the time the pandemic hit ended up experiencing much lower deaths. So if you look at the towns that are under a district managed by an Indian officer, you see about 15 percentage point lower mortality. So that's quite sizable.
It is quite sizable. I noticed you mentioned earlier that randomly districts would have an Indian or a British district officer. Is it truly random? Could it be that maybe the Indian district officers were given a different type of district, a more rural one perhaps, where there wasn't as much flu there in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's a possible alternative interpretation, right? And in fact, it is true that when you look at the distribution of types of places that Indian officers got, they were slightly different along those lines you suggest, right? So they were less likely to get places with military garrisons, right, that were of military importance. Those were kept by the British. So what I do to alleviate those concerns is two things. One is to exploit this musical chairs type of rotation of officers across space. So what I'm exploiting is really the fact that at that particular time when the pandemic hit, there's a certain configuration of who is running which place. Mm. And what I show is that it's only that pattern that matters. So if you can do almost like a placebo test by saying, well, does the location of where Indian officers were 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before the pandemic predict the health outcomes when the pandemic hits? And as you might expect, it doesn't, because those officers were no longer there, right? So there are these sort of tests that I do to alleviate those concerns. There's another thing that is quite useful and one can do if you have this town level data that I have, which is think about two neighboring towns that are separated by a district border, and they're very close to each other. So they're quite similar in terms of geographic conditions and where they are. But one happens to be administered by the British officer because that's on one side of the border, and the other one is administered by an Indian officer. And again, even when you compare these very comparable towns, you do see a lower mortality in areas under Indian administration.
Well, we have to make another step in this, don't we? Because we have to work out what it is that's making the difference here that a district officer might have control over. So what is the difference here? Is it better hospitals? Is it better preventative care? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So luckily, again, there are very good colonial statistics. Mm-hmm. So I was able to directly measure these things and test for differences. And interestingly, you do not find there are a lot of differences on the provision of beds, hospital availability mm-hmm. across those areas. But in general, one surprising thing perhaps for us nowadays is that health provision and that infrastructure was just not very good. So the level was in general quite low.
I see. But what is causing, what's the incentive that's causing some difference in the actions of the Indian district officers compared to the British ones? They all have to follow the same rules. They all pass the same exams.
Given that they're all very comparable and they're serving under almost the same promotion rules, right, incentives that they have on the job, mm-hmm. I think this is really where this discretion comes in combination with the importance of representation, right? That we're talking about administrators that are local in the sense relative to the British. And so there are two candidate explanations, right? One is they might have better pro-social motivation, right? They just care more about doing the good thing and saving the local population, but mm-hmm. they might also have better local information. And I do find evidence for that in terms of, again, exploiting the rotation of these officers and the timing. So what you find, for example, is that in general, when officers are recently allocated to a new area, they're rookies, right? So they don't know a lot about how to navigate those areas. But when you compare the rookie effect across Indian versus British officers, you see that the rookie effect is much larger for British officers. So when the pandemic hits, there are some places where people are newly allocated, so they have relatively less experience on that particular job. Mm-hmm. And again, in those places, you see mortality is higher, but it is lower when you have an Indian officer. So it seems to suggest that it's about somehow the superior local information that these Indian officers have that makes them mobilize resources better and provide a better service when they're working.
Is this just an interesting story about how colonies were administered, or are there parallels that we can draw that you can see with the way that public administration is done today?
Definitely. So while working on this paper, there was a bit of a like deja vu moment because it was, you see, it was very timely almost in that sense. And so when we think about the recent COVID pandemic, there were quite similar situations that emerged, right? So one thing you see across many places, especially perhaps in the US, is that heterogeneity in the take-up of vaccine and compliance with health measures and mistrust in vaccines, for example, varies across certain populations and demographics. And so you might think that having individuals from a similar background of, say, your socioeconomic background, your racial background, might help bridge those information gaps and help improve take-up rates.
So I often make my interviewees into the policymaker for the day, but I'm going to make myself into it. And I'm going to ask you to give me some advice. If I'm recruiting a bureaucracy and I want the bureaucracy to perform well, what should I be looking for in recruitment?
That's a great question. It's a hard one. We typically think that, I guess, representation is important, right? This is something we care about in politics, but somehow less so when it comes to administration. And this is because we think that once we select people that are highly qualified, it doesn't really matter who they are, because ultimately what they're doing is just implement what they're being told to do. But my findings here show, at least in this particular setting, that bureaucrats are more than just machines in that big state machinery, and who they are really matters. So thinking about not just selecting on quality, but also on ensuring some representation that the administrative side matches the population they're being served, that seems potentially very important.
So all the bureaucrats who listen to Vox Dev Talks are saying, exactly, I am not a machine. It's very interesting research. Thank you very much for talking about it today.
Thanks, Tim.
The paper is called Bureaucratic Representation and State Responsiveness During Times of Crisis, the 1918 Pandemic in India, and the author is Guo Zhu. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Go on, do it now. Wherever you get your podcasts, you will find Vox Dev Talks. And all our past episodes, as ever, are at voxdev.org, where you will also find articles about the papers we feature.